know your secret. I know the truth. I know your secrets, and I'm telling on you.
Hi, I'm Alicia.
I'm Allie.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Amy.
And together, we're the Cold Case Chronicles.
Come hang out with us as we investigate unsolved crimes from across Indiana.
We're sort of like The View, but with murder.
Except we're funny and not political. Oh, and with some explicit language.
Cold Case Chronicles can be heard on your favorite podcast app or by visiting coldcasechronicles.com. And as always,
have the day you deserve.
Especially if you're a murderer.
I know your secrets, and I'm telling on you.
Recorded in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Infamous Indie Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Melillo. This show features real-life stories of Indiana's most infamous horrors, Circle City serial killers, and crimes, both current and cold. I sit down and interview people who know these crimes the best. Sometimes they're authors, sometimes law enforcement, and even family members of the victims. In the end, you'll see a darker side of Hoosier hospitality. Hey everybody, welcome to the Infamous Indie Podcast, episode 18. Wow, man, we are getting really, really high up there. I know I only put them out every 2 weeks, but still 18 episodes. Thank you all for listening. And here we are again for another week. And wherever you're listening, I hope everything's going well in your life. And if you're having trouble or struggles, make sure to reach out to anybody who might be able to help, which is a little bit about the theme of today's episode. I'm going to get into what the episode is about specifically in a little bit, but first I just want to go over one real quick thing. You heard at the beginning of the episode a promo for another podcast. This is new here for Infamous Indie, something I've never done before, but I'm willing to start trying because I started reaching out to people who are very like-minded here in Indianapolis. Three other podcasts, including the Three C's podcast, the Circle City Crime podcast, the Hoosier Homicide podcast, who have been featured in one of my episodes about the Richmond Hill explosion, and then also the, and of course, the Cold Case Chronicles podcast, which you just heard there. We all met and hung out one night at Stack Pickle, and literally talked it out, and we just wanted to start sharing our podcast with each other because usually people who like Indianapolis crime usually want to listen to the same type of podcast. So there you go, the first ever promo on the Infamous Indie Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. So I hope you listen to them, give them a shot, and if you have any feedback, please let me know and let them know, because that's what we're here for. We're here for feedback. Anyway, this week we talk about the story of David Hall and Shannon Hall. On July 27th, 2014, David Hall and his two sons, 10-year-old Connor and 8-year-old Danny, were out for some father-son time. That happened more often because David and his ex-wife Shannon, a second-grade teacher in Fishers, had just finalized their divorce. That night, as David was dropping off his sons at the home on Somerset Way in Carmel, the same home Shannon grew up in, and the same home where the boys were living with their mom and grandparents temporarily during the divorce, David walked in and asked to use the bathroom. And when he came out, he pointed a gun at Shannon right in front of his children. Just before he pulled the trigger, the boy screamed, "No, Dad, no." He then shot and killed Shannon Hall. He turned the gun on himself. At that point, Danny and Rita O'Malia, Shannon's parents, could only watch in horror as they witnessed the scene unfold. Rita ran the boys quickly to a neighbor's house as they called police. To this day, the family still wonders what was going through David's mind as he was in the bathroom. Was he so depressed or mentally ill that there was no turning back from what he had decided? Now, more than 5 years later, Connor and Danny live with their aunt and uncle and three cousins. Colleen Stein, Shannon's younger sister, was in St. Louis, Missouri the night Shannon was murdered. The Stein family moved home soon after to help. Colleen started a company called Everkind, which sells t-shirts with inspirational messages. On this episode, I speak with Colleen about what she has learned from the terrible situation her family has gone through, her perception of her brother-in-law, and what she believes happened and why. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the interview. Hey, everybody. This is the interview portion of the Infamous Indie podcast. And today on the docket, as you heard, we have Colleen Stein. Colleen is the sister of Shannon Hall. So she's sitting across from me. We've connected on the phone. I was able to get a hold of you through a friend. Your story is incredible. You're doing an amazing thing. More importantly, we're going to go into exactly what you're doing to change the world. I bring on people on this podcast because I feel like this is a portion of our world that I need to get out there and showcase and lift up people like you who are making a difference. Not only are you taking care of those two young boys, your sister's kids, but you're also doing something with your professional life to make a difference. So first and foremost, thank you for that, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm just appalled, and just when we hear stories like this, stories like this are pretty common in the news. And as a former reporter, I covered many cases where the woman, it was a murder-suicide, and the husband killed and then killed himself. So this isn't an uncommon storyline. What's uncommon for me is your reaction and your change after, and the family. And there's really a message and a lesson to be learned about it. We talked a little bit before about signs that you can kind of pay attention to, but I kind of wanted to just go over your perspective the couple days ahead of time. Where were you when you heard? Why don't you tell my listeners what you went through as the sister, as the younger sister of 10 years for Shannon, and when you heard all of it, but specifically the weeks leading up to it.
Okay. So I would say that David, who was her ex-husband, their divorce was finalized in early July of 2014, and she was killed on July 27th of that year. And he was a really nice guy. He was in the military. He did not go to college, but he was so resourceful. He was really helpful. And before things took a turn for the worse in their marriage, he was a really good dad, and I really liked him a lot. So
some people would say that's kind of weird to say,
yeah,
but it's the truth.
Yeah, it is the truth. I was feeling for my sister when things were going south, and I hated it for her, and I hated it for the boys, but I believed that they would both be better for it. And so obviously that is not how things turned out, but there are even some bright spots where that's concerned. And that might sound really weird, but
we're honest on this podcast. You can say whatever you want. Okay. I don't think my listeners will ever judge you, because these are very difficult things that we're talking about. I've had some guests. We might need tissues, but
I have some.
She has some.
Always.
Where were you before? You told me a story that before, about a week before, there was a clear sign.
Yes, there was. They were at their son's baseball game, and after the game was over, he rammed into her car, and the boys were in it, and that was really alarming, but not so much that, I mean, we just thought he was just in pain. His dad had passed away a few years prior. His mom lives in Oklahoma, and not that they weren't close, but they didn't talk that often. He has a lovely sister, but again, not as close as I was with mine, and not a lot maybe to live for, or so he thought.
but we don't really know what was going through his head.
Was he ever diagnosed with anything?
He was medicated for depression, but I don't know for sure if he was ever diagnosed. I guess maybe he would have had to be to get a prescription.
Right.
But he had not been taking that leading up to what he did.
And that was on July 27th
of 2014.
That day, you said it kind of was like any other. Your sister was getting ready to, she was a second grade teacher.
Yeah.
And she was getting ready for her classroom.
Yeah. So I loved both of my sisters. My oldest sister is a principal now, but she was an educator for a long, long time. And I loved helping them in their classrooms, getting ready for the school year. So it was, of course, something that she wanted to share with me because I wish I could have been there. I had just been there, as I told you, because my cousin passed away a week before. And so...
And this is St. Louis. You had been to St. Louis.
I was living in St. Louis at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. And so my family's world was rocked a week prior when we lost my cousin Zachary, my baby cousin. And she was the one that called to tell me that news in the first place. And on the way to his funeral, David was texting her some horrible, horrible things. And my sister was crying in the front seat. And I was in the middle with my baby and the boys were in the back. And they're asking, what's wrong? And Shannon, I mean, part of how I know that I have to put on a face of not hatred, and there isn't hatred, but just remember David for who he was before he did this, is because of how she handled things with the boys. She never wanted them to know how he was being. And I was like, dude, I would want my kids to know because I wasn't in her shoes. But now... it makes so much sense why she wouldn't want them to know. And they know now that things weren't good and that he wasn't who he could have been. But they have very fond memories that I think overshadow the bad ones.
Mm. So. Even the one that happened right in front of them.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I know that they're a long way away from maybe even wrapping their heads around this. I've done a little bit of research about kids who lose their parents this way. And I mean, they're so blessed.
Yeah.
I mean, their world, I mean, the worst thing that could happen to kids happened to them, but the kindness and the outpouring of love and support, not just from like my family and our inner group of friends and our church, but like Indianapolis. Like mind-blowing stories. And we kind of have to reel things back in now. Here we are 5 years later, and Connor thinks he should get to go see Auburn play football like that because, you know. And we're like, okay, let's back down to earth now.
Let's rewind a little bit. Why don't you tell people from your perspective how it went down and how you heard about it all.
Okay.
And then also what you did after.
Okay, so I don't know if I've ever mentioned this. So a lot of people who think they know everything never will, obviously, because I don't even know everything. But one thing that is kind of, I think, an important detail is that two nights prior, so the Friday, she died on a Sunday, so the Friday, my parents were home and Shannon was out with the boys and David stopped by because Shannon was living with the boys at my parents' house where I was born and grew up, and so it's been our home for a long, long time. And my mom texted Shannon that he was there, and then Shannon tried to get back to my mom and my mom didn't respond, and she panicked so much that she called the police, and the police showed up while he was there. But they had a conversation with him about how sad they are that it didn't work out, but that how they want David to be an active father in the boys' lives, and they will do whatever they can to bridge the gap between he and Shannon. And
so from your perspective and from this incident,
this prior 2 days incident of him showing up to the house, he looked like he was just really upset about going through a divorce with someone you obviously cared about.
Yeah, I think so.
From an outsider's perspective, I mean, that's what you would want to assume. Like, it's not any worse than someone just having a really, really hard time on it.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I think my mom or my dad they don't know, did they have the gun then, or what were his intentions? One of the things that I know for sure is that he could have taken my mom, my dad, the boys, and himself and Shannon. And
on July 27th.
On July 27th. And he didn't. And yeah, sometimes I have my days where I can barely talk or breathe when I think about it, but I count my blessings twice when I think about that he didn't do that.
No, you're okay. He didn't do that. Why do you think he didn't do that?
I don't know. I really, really don't think that he was there. He obviously was not clear-headed. He wasn't thinking, or whatever it is that takes over. I mean, you said, you hear about these kinds of things happening. I never dreamed that it would happen to my beautiful, amazing, hilarious sister. But that's the thing about mental illness. And there are so many degrees of mental illness and types and kinds, but he was not there. Like, that was not him.
That day, so you heard about it from who?
I had missed calls from both my parents. When I called my mom back, she was the one who told me. And I was giving my kids a bath, and I just remember it didn't really make any sense. I mean, I talked to my sister that morning. I had texted with her an hour before. I knew the boys were out. I forget if it was lunch or dinner. They were out to eat with him. And then he came inside to use the restroom and then came out, and that's, you know, so.
In the living room? Just
yes.
Right there in the hallway?
Yeah. Like, the bathroom is off the garage, so when he came through the front door and then went left, and the boys and my mom and dad and Shannon were all sitting in the family room to the right. Hmm. So my parents still live there, and they remodeled. There was no choice. Like, they didn't have a choice. But the mirror in the bathroom is the same mirror, and so I don't feel – I go there a lot. Mm-hmm. In the summer, I practically live there. It doesn't stop me from going there. I know Shannon wouldn't want us to not continue our lives, you know, there, but that mirror is haunting to me, because I know that's, I mean, who did he see and what was going through his head, but we'll never know.
That's incredible perspective, to think that a mirror could be the last thing he saw.
Right.
Was himself before he did this.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, chills. Absolute, just so sad. I'm so sorry.
Well,
it's terrible.
Thank you.
And that someone's life could be taken that way, and that he didn't feel like he could get help otherwise.
I know.
Like, it had to be this way.
Right. And they didn't have a will. So what did he think? You know, he really loved the boys, and everybody knew that. So that's why this is a big portion of, I think, my ability to give people the benefit of the doubt too, because like sometimes things seem like they make perfect sense and then they don't at all, and so there's maybe not always an explanation.
When you were able to get over there, what was one of the first things you said to your parents and the boys?
So I was screaming. My husband came in and I told him, and I think he was frightened for the kids. Luckily they were 3 and 1. Mm-hmm. So they have no memory of it at all. I called my best friend, who is the friend who introduced us. Mm-hmm. She lived in St. Louis at the time. Mm-hmm. And my husband called his mom. So we hadn't even unpacked because we had been away that weekend. And so we just took our bags. My mother-in-law stayed with the kids, and we started driving. And I remember feeling zombie-like and getting a lot of texts and feeling, I don't even really know. I just remember going to a gas station and, like, being mad at everybody inside of it because, like, they didn't have to get back in the car and go face what I was about to. And I, like, love gas stations. I love gas station vanilla cappuccino. So I felt really, really bad about feeling like that. But after we had a really smooth ride and I said to my husband, you know, we're moving to Indiana. And he just nodded. And that was the really only conversation either one of us can pinpoint that was like, yeah, and now here we are. We've been here back here for almost 5 years. And then my sister.
Do you regret coming back or do you think it was the right call?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I wanted to anyway.
There's the real story. Your husband had no idea that you actually had to. Now you had to.
Well, right. Well, he knew that I was really, really missing my family. He really misses the Cardinals now, but he watches plenty of games. So, my sister's best friend from high school had a home across the street from my parents' neighborhood that is beautiful and spacious and housed my mom and my dad and the four of us for many months after. So that's where my parents were. My mom and dad were waiting out on the front steps, and my mom was wearing her little pink robe that she still wears. And I don't think we really said anything. It was just crying and hugging. And I went up to the boys. It was like 2 a.m, I think. It was late.
And how old were the boys at the time?
8 and 10. So Danny had just completed second grade, which my sister was a second grade teacher. He didn't have her. Connor did. And Connor had just finished fourth grade. Yeah. So they were watching... Oh my gosh, The Incredibles, I think. Mm-hmm. They will tell you when you ask them. They remember. And they were so small. And they sat up and I said, like, I'm going to be here for you and we're going to get through this. And they hugged me really tight. And then the next couple of days were a blur, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they had to deal with... you know, going to say goodbye to their dad and then facing Shannon was the second grade teacher at a Catholic school here in Fishers. And so many students of hers, I mean, the prayer service was, that was the saddest service ever, watching all the boys and girls crying and, I mean, they loved her. She was the best teacher. And actually, my son, Ryan, who's a second grader, is in her classroom this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and she always said, just before Ryan gets to kindergarten, you got to get Doug back here because I got to have him in second grade. So, obviously, and I love his teacher. She's phenomenal. So,
amazing.
Yeah, kind of weird how things work out like that.
How much did God play a factor in your in this recovery and that process?
Oh my gosh, the biggest. Yeah. I'm a cradle Catholic, so I went to Catholic
school. Yeah, me too.
You are?
Oh, yeah, cool. Oh yeah, yeah, my wife too.
Awesome. Okay, well, yeah. great company. Grade school, high school, college, Catholic all the way through.
Oh man, really good.
Yeah, and I had a really great life. Like, I mean, I lost grandparents. I remember a good friend lost a dad in seventh grade, and he was also one of those dads that everybody loved, and that was really hard. That, like, stood out to me. Mm-hmm. But I had really – I lost my cousin and then my sister, like, a week apart. I didn't know how we would get through that. But honestly, and I've said this before, but, like, we moved – last month, and my husband's like, you don't remember this from 5 years ago? Like, you don't? And I'm like, no, because literally I think, like, I was there was like a cloud in God's hands and I was on the cloud. Like, he just, my faith 100% carried me, and my faith has definitely just gotten stronger since. And yeah, I mean...
Why did you choose to raise your sister's kids?
Well, I knew that... I mean, even though she always called me 10, she actually upgraded my status to 12 when I turned 30. So in her eyes, I was always just like, you know, no, you don't get a chair. You can sit on the deck. And but I know that she would have wanted it to be me. And I also know that she would have wanted Doug to raise her boys. He's just a really good person. And she really loved
your
him.
Your husband.
My husband, yeah. And actually, like, comments that she said to me when I was home for Zachary's funeral about him, and just things along the way where when I looked back, I thought, yeah, she'd want that. And my parents, you know, they help
they
us.
They did it.
They help us every day. Yeah. They help us every day. But they couldn't do it. And gosh, now Connor's 15 and it's hard. I mean, he's hard. He's a teenager. And, you know, they barely have the strength to hear the stories. So I'm so glad, though, that we're in it together. I couldn't do it without them.
Has there been any surprises since in the last 5 years that you've seen come from the boys that you're just like, what? Unbelievable.
You mean...
Anything.
Like, that they've said?
Said or done?
Something that stands out to me, one of Danny's... So they're very different, and I hope that your listeners get to experience that when you talk to them, and I hope you, I mean, you'll pick up on it. It's
sure.
Very obvious.
Sure.
But Danny, this was like 1 year after everything, mm-hmm. I think. One of his best friend's dog died, and Danny's an animal lover, but he said something about it being the worst thing in the world. And I just remember being, like, happy that he felt that way. Like, yep. That he's processing his emotions like that because that's how he felt. And a lot of what I mean, not that they're numb to it, but, like, kids are resilient. Like, you'll hear everybody say that, but that they are. And I'm not saying that... I don't anticipate there to be rocky roads, and there have been times, but they're happy. I mean, they really are. I think sometimes Connor wishes he could go back to having just one brother and not, you know, my three also, but I don't think he would trade it if it came down to it. And
it's a very special situation. It's all, I mean, it's really cool, honestly, to have like extra brothers and sisters, and
yeah.
Like, and they're like, I'm just saying, in any situation,
sure.
I mean, that's really something that's really special.
Well, I know someday it will be like, well, you know, that was good for me, like that.
And, yeah, but he's 15 now, so he ain't saying that. No way.
No way. And I mean, well, he did text me that he was grateful for me today.
Wow.
Well, at Cathedral on Thursdays, they do like they suggest that you tell someone. And I haven't gotten it this year, but I knew other parents had. So I was actually like, what? And Danny is shadowing him. And I got it from Danny, too, which didn't surprise me at all. But
yeah, Danny but probably did the same thing.
Yeah. And when I told him about this, mm-hmm. Danny was like, oh. I mean, he's an entertainer, I would say.
Okay, cool.
So he was so excited. And Connor's like.
Well, do they want to come to Wish and we can like show them around?
Totally. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that'd
we should definitely fun. Do that.
Well, Danny for sure.
Yeah, yeah, Danny will love it. I mean, obviously Connor can do whatever, you know, come too.
He can come too. And yeah. I think sometimes he puts on a little show. He cares a little more than he lets on.
Of course.
So,
of course. But well, that's the way to do it. That's how you're cool.
Yeah, you and I'm sure there are other stories. Like, I don't know.
I just didn't know if there was one that stood out. It was a question from left field for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I throw them at my interviewees, but you handled it great. I got to say, that was exactly what I was hoping for. Just something where it kind of gives a little insight because it's very difficult to process for me how this is happening and like what the next steps are because you're in uncharted territory, something that you never thought you'd be in.
Oh.
And then on top of it, they're in an area that they never thought they would be in.
Right.
I mean, my parents went through a divorce. And I watched The Parent Trap that night before my dad left. And I knew.
Why'd you do that?
I didn't know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he
oh, my gosh.
I came home and he was gone. So, but that's okay. Me and my father have a great relationship now. And we've come a long, long way. But, you know, losing your parents the way they did, I mean, that is super bad. And I was 9, so I was right in between those two. I can only imagine, and I'm not trying to make this about myself. I'm just saying I relate to the fact that it's kind of like your whole world blows up. And, you know, where do you go from there? And if you don't have the support system, and thank God they have you and your husband.
And so many other people. I mean, I can't even. My husband is now Catholic. He was not. And he was like, you know, okay, we'll live in Carmel if we ever move back, because there's great schools there. I've looked into it. Because he's, Shannon would have called him a pub. We call him a pub. He's went to public school in St. Louis, and
he's a pub.
Hey, you better watch it. You know, watch it over here.
No, right? the best pub ever. And honestly, all his friends, like everybody that I've ever met. Sure. And so I was not going to tell him no. I was not going to tell him no, because I wasn't, you know, I loved him. And so if he turned out so great, then why shouldn't I consider public schools for our kids, even though Catholic school is all I ever knew? But after everything happened and it was time to look for school for Ryan, and I was like, do you want like to go to the open house? And he was like, don't make me say it. Like, you know, we're our kids are going to Catholic school. They are. I mean, and
but
he
but it was the right decision.
Yeah. It was the best decision. It's
Catholicism for me is a little difficult. There's some I love the Christian faith.
Same.
In general.
Same.
I think the pomp and circumstance, the traditions, the kind of standing and sitting and all that stuff, it kind of gets away from Jesus Christ's words, which is my perspective. But I also, it also brought me through a lot of the stuff that I went through, because it's uniform and it's the same everywhere you go. And my wife and I, when we go back to church, she grew up in a Catholic church in Southern Indiana. I grew up in one in the East Coast. They're all the same. You know what I mean? You get the same feeling.
Stand up, kneel, sit down.
Say thank you, you know, peace be with you. And then you're out, you know? So we want to do that. So that's so great that to hear that about your family. You know, something I did want to mention or ask you is dealing with the media. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, I would love to hear your perspective 5 years later about what your experience was with that. Were reporters badgering? Were they respectful? Were they
so respectful? Yeah. So respectful. I know. I remember we had like maybe 2 in-home kind of interviews. We had one at Chrissy's house, who was Shannon's friend, who is, I mean, she was over at our house last night, and her son brings Connor home from school, and they're like family to us, and I'm so thankful for that relationship. But and then when we moved into our home that we just moved out of, mm-hmm. and then, I mean, no, just so respectful. And so, and I think my dad was in the grocery business and knew a lot of, he shakes a lot of hands and he loves people. And I feel like he was really good in that role. And I kind of just rolled with the punches. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember even how like those things were arranged.
Someone called somebody.
Yeah, I really don't even remember. I remember the news report. I didn't really watch the news reports. But then since they, I don't know how you guys do what you do, but like you kind of recall what happened. And so then I see like, you know, that's my parents' house and the sirens. And
so
and,
even to this day, there's some like almost anniversary stories.
Yeah. Sort
I'd say
of.
Like 5 years ago. I mean, that would happen this year.
Yeah. Actually, this past spring I did. And I could remember if you needed me to, but she was lovely.
And from which TV?
I don't think so.
RTV 6.
Maybe RTV.
RTV 6 does a lot of that stuff. Rafael Sanchez, always good, does kind of anniversary stuff on crime. But, you know, no affiliates here on this podcast. I'm Infamous Indie only. That's what my. And so well, I had a former THR reporter who works with us now on my last episode.
Oh, cool.
So it's great perspective. And for, you know, him, he's covered crime for decades. And it's just from our perspective to get a hold of you. I can only speak for me. I only want to hear what you have to say. This is why I have this podcast. it's important to hear your perspective to learn from it. Right. When it's a day turn, or when it's a quick turn, or when it's kind of breaking news kind of deal, we got to get something from you
right.
quick. And totally. We're not trying to be rude.
I knew that.
Yeah. And it's a little different situation where, well, not really. I mean, I guess the only thing I would say would be a different situation was that it wasn't you involved specifically in right. in the shooting. It was your sister and your husband, and her husband, and you and your husband weren't there.
Right.
So, and your dad, though, he's the guy to talk to in terms of a news perspective. Like, I want to hear what happened from you. He walked in, he shot her, he shot himself. It was over.
Yeah. And actually, my sister Gianna and I went to lunch with my dad on the 5-year anniversary this year. We luckily had sunglasses on because he kind of recanted everything. And maybe I just forget those details from those days, but told us about how he, tried to see if she was breathing. And he had to go upstairs to get his phone because he's kind of old school like that and doesn't need it all the time. And he told us that she did take some shallow breaths, and of course then you relive that, and I take comfort in the hope that she didn't suffer, but if she's breathing, so there's always going to be that, but there's not a point in dwelling on it because it happened, and she's at peace now, and I know she's looking down on us. I know that she's helping me raise all 5 of the kids. I mean,
5 kids,
right? Well,
Holly, you have 5 kids that you're raising.
She was complaining to me about this and that with the boys, so I kind of was like, "Oh, here I go." And so the hardest thing is not being able to get her advice. But people have, no one will ever take her place. But I have people who fill in that role for her on her behalf.
Can you tell me what can we learn from this? Oh, and also talk about your business.
Okay.
I think people need to know about it. You have a wonderful business.
Well, I have a really wonderful business partner. I definitely wouldn't.
Of course, you're humble.
Well, she runs it, so really and truly. But Shannon knew about it because we put everything out there 5 days before she died, and she was so excited about it because she was a teacher, and we were designing kindness spreading t-shirts.
Yeah, what's the name of it now?
It is Every Kind, and it was Mama Said Tees. Her name is also Colleen, my business partner, and we had never met, but she was my best customer on Etsy. And one conversation went a little too far, and we became overnight texting friends, and then we became business partners, and we never even met in real life. And she encouraged me to design a shirt after Shannon died to raise money for the boys, because I don't know when we decided to take the boys, and then it took a really long time once we did to become their legal guardians, and we did not formally adopt them because there's something to do with their Medicare or Medicaid. So they are ours, and that we are their legal guardians, but there are so many, it's so complicated, and I don't remember anything, honestly, like how it all went down or when we decided. I don't remember talking to my husband about it. It just kind of happened. We had to sell our house in St. Louis and get here and buy a house, and it all went beautifully because we had a guardian angel looking out for us. She said, what's the one thing about your sister that you think she'll be remembered for? And I said, her smile. And we sold $15,000 worth of Let Your Smile Change the World designs, and in the first 3 days. And so all that money went into their trust fund, and some of that money might help buy Connor a car, which will
don't
help,
waste it
which
on a
will
car.
Help us immensely.
Yeah. Oh well, if it helps, that's yeah. help. Don't I'm a parent of an 8-year-old, so I still got a long way
sure,
to go before
yeah.
that.
But so many people have generously given and donated to that, and so hopefully it'll help with things for them. Obviously, money isn't going to bring anybody back, but finances were a concern of my sister's, and so I have to believe that at least, you know, she doesn't have to worry about that stuff anymore.
She already knew about it before she left. She knew how she was going to help you. So yeah. Your business now, people can go to everykind.com.
Yeah, they can.
And you can buy a t-shirt that says?
We have lots of different kinds of t-shirts.
But the Shannon t-shirt is the...
Let Your Smile Change the World.
Let Your Smile Change the World.
Yes, and I don't know when you're airing this, but we... do you watch Good Bones?
Yeah.
With Mina? So Mina wears a lot of our things, and we sell out of those things very quickly when she does. And so that shirt's always popular anyway, and obviously it's super special to me because it's the only design that on the front says Shannon Smiles in the design. And so it's obviously really special to me, but that shirt in particular. But we've got a lot, and I know that there are a lot of people who probably just wear them, but I know that there are a lot of people who live the messages that are on them, and that's what we're trying to do. And we have a lot. We have, is it like irons in the fire or whatever?
Yeah, a lot of irons in the fire.
A lot of awesome, exciting things that, and we want to make a difference in schools and for kids everywhere. And
why do you want to make a difference? Because do you see the problem?
Well, you know, that's a good question. The December Sandy Hook, was that in 2013?
It was in 2013.
Okay.
Yes. It might have been 2014. December.
It was definitely before my sister.
Okay, then it was 13.
13, okay.
Where I grew up is next door to Newtown.
To Newtown, no kidding.
Yeah,
you're going to love this.
Yeah,
story.
Okay.
Okay, so I had an order about, I don't know, couple weeks after. And when that happened, my sisters, who were teachers, mm-hmm. and my dad was a former teacher, and like, it's all we could talk about, and it's all we prayed about, and we just didn't even know these people, but our hearts were bleeding for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I saw this woman was from Newtown, Connecticut. So she ordered something, and I sent her a proof, and in the message I said, I see also that you're from Newtown, Connecticut, and I don't know if you... obviously were affected, but I don't know how close you were with this situation, the horrible, horrible tragedy. It's not even a situation. But long story short, we texted last week, and I'll tell you why. But her son, one of his best friends was James Mattioli, who was one of the victims. And we created a print on his behalf so that we could donate all the proceeds of the print that I sold in my shop to his fund, something that his parents had done, which I was so happy to get to do. And Shannon thought that was really, really cool. And then, so when Shannon died, Kristen, my friend from Connecticut, who I will meet someday, she sent, they have this thing called Hearts of Hope, where people paint these ceramic arts. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
And she sent them for every teacher at St. Louis de Montfort, where Shannon taught. And one is hanging outside of Ryan's classroom. I sent her a picture of it last week. And so it's crazy. Like, my sister, I felt like, oh my gosh, I know this person who is close to this horrible thing that happened. And Shannon couldn't believe that and thought that was just like a coincidence. Like, well, if you can help them, then you should, absolutely. And we're still in each other's lives.
And then less than a year later, your sister's gone. You're helping.
And she's helping me. Mm-hmm. And all the teachers. I mean, you know, they miss my sister, too. They worked with her every single day. They became really close friends. And for a long time, I wondered, like, when they look at me, like, did that suck? Like, was that horrible? Or
to look at you?
Like... because we're similar, we're similar and say similar things, and
you're a reminder.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like painful, and now I'm so in their face all the time that I mean, there's a part of me.
No, really, are you? I can't tell.
Totally am, and I love the school and being a part of things, and you know, it makes me sad that she's not there, but I don't think I ever would have been if she was still here. So I have to thank her for that, because it's a really, really great community.
thanks again so much
You're
for coming.
You're so welcome. So fun.
Is there anything else that you think my listeners should know?
I would love if your listeners would take a look at something called Family Lives On, which is a nonprofit organization out of Philadelphia. A person I met on the internet told me about it after Shannon died, and the boys get these beautiful, meaningful, heartfelt packages from people who donate in honor of their parents once a year. So if only your mom dies, you get something once a year, but they lost both parents, so they had interviews, like Skype interviews, right after with these awesome people to learn about their parents and what they love doing with them, and then how can they live on. So it's the coolest thing, and if you're going to donate, they'd be a great... I mean, no kid should lose their parents, and no parent should lose their child. My heart bleeds for everybody that loses anybody, but that's obviously why I care about kids in schools.
You're passing it on.
Yeah, and I know that Shannon would want that too. Mm-hmm. She was a teacher, and for a long, long time. So
thank you, Colleen.
Thank you.
What a great interview. I'm so blessed to have you here.
I
loved it, and I hope my listeners enjoyed it. Like you said, what it was called, Living On?
Family Lives On.
I'll put a link on the website at infamousindy.com. And finally, stay tuned. Next week, I'm going to have the boys, your nephews, mm-hmm. and the sons of Shannon, and just have them on and just kind of have a conversation with them.
I hope they do a good job.
Oh, I'm sure they will. and worse comes to worse, they're going to be real and authentic, which is this is all we're trying to get at. We're trying to get as real as possible on this podcast. So they will be a very interesting. They might be one of my more interesting podcasts that I've ever interviewed. So
good. I know if they can help any kids who are going through anything, they don't like kids to feel different. Like they feel different. They're mixed, so they don't really look like us anyway. Mm-hmm. And so they have a lot of that against them, and they embrace it, so they'll want to help anybody they can.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Colleen. So at the end of every podcast, I say thank you and stay safe.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to do it for me today.
So thank you and stay safe.
Thank you. So that was part one, and soon enough, part two will be released in about 2 weeks. I will be talking with Connor and Danny, the boys who were there that night as their father killed their mom and then turned the gun on himself. For more information and all the kind of fun perks that you get, remember to head over to the Infamous Indie Patreon account and become an official fan. Check out the perks and register now. Also, you can follow the latest updates on the Infamous Indie Podcast Instagram account and as well as the Twitter page. And remember, as always, I like to say, stay safe.